What's next? Is it a children's moment? We'll ask our children to come forward. Huh? No, I don't preach that fast. I preach very slow. All right, we'll ask our children to come forward for our children's moments. Oh. I noticed. All right. We have no bag today, but that's all right. That is all right. How are you all doing today? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Today, we're going to be looking at a story of Moses. And Moses asked God if he could see God's face. And what do you think God said? He said, "Not so fast, Moses. Nobody can see my glory and live." And so God told Moses to go in the cleft of this rock, to go in this little cave, and God would allow all of his glory to pass by Moses, and he would keep Moses' face covered. And then at the last second, God would move his hand so that Moses could see God from behind as God moved forward and as God went on. And it's a reminder for us that we're always following God. We're always following him because he's leading us in various directions. And I want to remind us today that God is always leading us, and we have an opportunity to follow him. We can't always see everything that he's doing. We can't always see all of who he is. But we know that he's going in the right direction, and so it's up to us to follow him. Any of you all ever have to stand in line and walk in line at school? You know, you got to follow the teacher because the teacher knows where they're going. Yeah, and it's the same thing that we do with God. All right? So I want us to be mindful of that today. We're not going to have children's church for the older kids, just the preschool through kindergarten. Is that correct? Yeah, we'll just go with that and call it good. All right? So we're going to pray, and then some of you are going to go, and others of you are going to stay, and we'll just see how that works. All right?
Daddy,
yeah.
I don't want to wear one of those.
Yeah, you can't wear this mic. Just silence, boy. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you that you are always with us, that you lead us, and that we have the opportunity to follow you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them and the opportunity we have to learn from them as well. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Preschool to kindergarten or first grade or whatever, y'all go on down. Scripture lesson this morning, as I alluded to a few moments ago, comes from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23. As you're turning there, as we're preparing to hear this reading, we want to remind ourselves that we're in the midst of our stewardship campaign, and our theme this year has been remembering. Remembering all of the things that God has done for us, being mindful of the ways that God has met us and has provided for us in the past, and that will motivate us to trust him in the future. And that's the intent and the purpose of remembering. Remembering also causes us to not forget, and while again that's a very obvious statement, if we are intentionally remembering, we will not forget. And again, a lot of trouble occurs in Scripture when people forget, right? I'd tell you about it, but I forgot all about them, so there you go. So our scripture lesson this morning, again, let us hear now God's word from Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you've been telling me, lead these people forward, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. Yet you've assured me I know you by name and think highly of you. Now, if you do think highly of me, show me your ways so that I may know you and so that you may really approve of me. Remember, too, that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, I'll go myself and I'll help you. Moses replied, if you won't go yourself, don't make us leave here, because how will anyone know that we have your special approval, both I and your people, unless you go with us? Only that distinguishes us, me and your people, from every other people on the earth. The Lord said to Moses, I'll do exactly what you've asked, because you have my special approval, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glorious presence. The Lord said, I'll make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim before your name the Lord. I will be kind to whomever I wish to be kind, and I will have compassion to whomever I wish to be compassionate. But, the Lord said, you can't see my face, because no one can see me and live. The Lord said, here is a place near me where you will stand beside the rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I'll set you in a gap in the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face won't be visible. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, again, we thank you so very much for this day, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you'll remember last week, we looked at Exodus 32, and we have Moses reminding God and challenging God to change his thoughts in terms of destroying the people Israel. And God is upset at what they're doing, and he tells Moses and Israel to go to the promised land. But there's the indication here that he's not going to go with them. There's the indication here that he's going to send them on ahead and that he's going to stay behind. And the verses that we've read today, they almost kind of seem out of order. There's a few choppy places in there where we're not quite sure why it seems as if he's going to go, and then all of a sudden he's not going to go, and Moses is trying to help God and ask God to come with them. And we pick up here again with Moses asking God to change his mind, it seems for a second time in verse 15. He says, if you won't go with us yourself, don't make us leave here. If you will not go with us, then keep us wherever you are. Keep us in the wilderness. Keep us in the dark. Keep us in this place because we know that you are here, but don't send us to the promised land without you going with us. And we can see Moses' great desire. His desire above all else is to be with God and for God to be with Israel, for God to be with his people, so that people will know that they are God's people, because that's what distinguishes them from everyone else, is God's presence with them. God's presence is the most important thing to Moses. To do anything separate from God is out of the question for Moses. It's unbearable, it's unthinkable. To do anything without God's approval, without God's leading, doesn't make sense to Moses, and so he cannot factor in any equation where he would do anything without God being with him. And I wonder this morning, is that our stance? Is it out of the question for us to do anything without God's leading, to do anything without the presence of God with us? Do we desire God so greatly that we refuse to take part in anything that he does not himself take part in? If we're honest with ourselves, that's a bit of a gut check, isn't it? Because we have to be mindful and aware of the things that God is wanting to do. There requires then this relationship that God wants, that he spoke of last week, that we want to be with him. It's this type of love and desire that allows us to see God as Moses sees God. Moses requests in this passage to see God's face, to see his presence. Their relationship is such that Moses can ask bold questions like this. And I wonder this morning, is our relationship with God such that we can ask bold questions like this? Can we make bold requests to God because we know who he is, because we have spent time with him? We see in Exodus 3, one of my favorite passages in all Scripture, that Moses requests to know God's name. God is telling him he's going to go to Pharaoh, he's going to free the people, and he says, "Who should I tell Pharaoh has sent me?" And I think on Moses' part, there's a little sense of, I got him now. Now I don't have to go. But he asks this question in earnest, and God says, "Tell him, I am who I am, has sent me to you." At this very question, at this bold request, God answers. He says, "Yahweh, I am who I am." If only we could be so bold to ask God these questions. I think far too often we get stuck in the question of why, when in reality we should be stuck with the question of who. God doesn't seem to be in the business of answering why, does he? But he is very much in the business of answering who. God, who are you in the midst of this? God, don't send me away from your presence. God, if you won't go before me and with me, then please don't send me. Who are you? And in this passage, he asks to see God, and God grants that request, sort of. He sort of grants it. He says, "Well, I'm going to let my glory pass by you. I'm going to keep you in the cleft of this rock, and at the last second, I'll remove my hand, and you'll be able to see me as I'm walking away." Now, the request of Moses here to see God's face isn't fully realized until Jesus. And until the disciples are able to see his face, to know that he looks like us. He's come to be with us. And I wonder this morning, how many of us have asked to see God? God, I want to see you. And when we ask because we want to know that he's real sometimes, don't we? Prove it. We desire to see him so that we'll know what to do next. God, I need you to show me what is next, what's coming down the pipeline. We desire to see God because we're afraid of what may be next, of what is coming, of the circumstances or situations that we find ourselves in. And these typically are the impetus for us asking to see God, because we're afraid, because we don't know what's next, or any other host factors. And Moses here asks to see God, you'll notice this, only after God says that he knows Moses by name. God makes this declaration that he knows Moses by name. There is a friendship, a kindred spirit here between these two. And it's not until then that Moses says, "Lord, I want to see your face. I want to see the face of my best friend. I want to be in fellowship and communion with you in a very real way." Moses doesn't ask this just for knowledge. He doesn't want to know God. He wants to know him very deeply, very personally. He doesn't ask this out of fear. Moses asks this because he wants to know who God is in a better way, so that his relationship with God can be that much stronger. There is no other reason for it. How many of us ask to see God's face and to be present with God simply to know him better? We tend to get caught in the trap of head knowledge and wanting to know academic answers about God more so than just knowing him. We want to do for God rather than to be with God. And let me tell you, it's pretty hard to do something for God if you haven't spent time with God, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to do it regardless. But it's a little easier when we know who God is. God then grants Moses' request, as I said, kind of. But what we must remember, that God is the one who dictates what revelation is going to look like. Moses says, "I want to see your face," and God says, "Hold on, slugger. You're not quite ready for that. Nobody is. I tell you what, I'm going to meet you in the middle somewhere. I'm going to tell you what you are going to see and how you are going to experience. God is the one who dictates what revelation looks like. We are not the ones who do that. Now, again, remember last week, they created this golden calf because they wanted to dictate what revelation would look like. They wanted to dictate what this relationship would look like, and God says, no, we're not going to have any of that. I'm the one who dictates this. God allows Moses to see him from behind, and really it's been the same ever since. We do well to remember this morning that we only tend to see God in the hindsight. Now, if you're anything like me, and hopefully you're not in a lot of ways, but hopefully you are in some, you have a few moments or a few instances in your life where you can say that that's God right now. And you've had those experiences with God in the present. But if you're like me, 99% of the time, it's not until after God has been present that you look back and you say, well, there was God. God was here. I missed it, but I didn't really miss it because I've seen it. We see God in the hindsight. We see him, he's already passed by, and we look, and there he is walking that way. And he's not leaving us. He's leading us. And we were blind for a various number of reasons to his presence. I think most of the time he covers us because we can't see it all right now. We need that time to process it. And so he is gracious, as he is here with Moses, to hide us from that presence most of the time. And it isn't until after God passes us that we realize we have seen God. We have experienced God. And we're better for it. And we always see him from behind because we're always following him. Because we're always seeking him. I want to ask, when did any of the disciples ever really anticipate what Jesus was going to do? Does it ever really happen once? The closest instance I maybe think is when Andrew brings the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He says, we're going to feed these people. And he's like, well, here you go, kid. Let's see what's going to happen here. But every time we try to anticipate what God is going to do, it leads to frustration, right? Anticipation leads to frustration every single time. Judas is a great example of this. He tries to anticipate what Jesus is going to do. And he is so bent on seeing Jesus do what he thinks he should do that he sells him for 30 pieces of silver, doesn't he? And oh, the frustration that then follows, that sense of anticipation. And if we're honest, how many of us are kind of like Judas? We're trying to force God to do something we think he should do rather than just allowing God to lead us and be ahead of us. We're not going to get one over on God. We're not going to get ahead of him. Ours is to simply follow him. No? Well, that's good. I guess I'm preaching to the choir then. Good. Moses isn't trying to grasp God here in a manipulative way. He wants to know God better, and the best way to know God is to follow behind him and to see where he's going. Moses sees and understands that it is enough to know that God is with us and that God will go with us. Is that enough for you today? He's not going to show you everything. He's not going to tell you everything. He's going to go, and you can either follow him or not. You can either stay in that spot or you can go. Seeing God from behind implies following him from behind, and we must never forget, we must always remember that God is God. God is our shepherd, our guide, our advocate. He is the one leading the way. He is the one blazing the trail. Our task is simply to follow. And that's what disciples are. They're followers. We're not leaders. We're followers. If I'm doing my job correctly, I'm a lead follower. So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to follow God? Are we willing to follow him today? Are we willing to follow him wherever he may lead us? You've no doubt noticed the work going on across the street at the Pops building. Now that the new windows are in, there's something outside that you can see, and you're like, oh, wow, that's cool. We're following God. God is asking of us right now about $100,000+ to follow him. It's not cheap to follow God, but it's well worth it. And it pays great dividends in the end. And it's scary moving forward without knowing all the details. We know that God wants this space to be a space for our community. We know that we have the resources to make that an option right now, and that's what we're seeking to do. We know some of the needs in the community, and we're seeking to meet those needs, not to be the best church in Elkton, but to be the best church for Elkton. And it's a frightening thing when God says yes to something you want to do. Because then you know what? You got to do it. Yikes. As we move forward, are you ready to take part in this through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? As we continue to move forward and to continue to seek out what God is leading us to, are you ready to step out in faith with me, with the leadership of the church, knowing and kind of relishing the fact that we don't know what's next, so we just do the next step and the next step and the next step? Now, the Pops building is not the promised land, okay? Let's get that straight. It's not the promised land. But God continues to call us forward, and it's where God is calling us now. And so that's where we're going. With increased numbers in our ministries, Celebrate Recovery, PM at PM, our commodities program, we need more space, and we know that. We're outgrowing this space. And we need some room, some elbow room. I've got plenty of room up here, and the front row is actually full today, so you don't have room there. But thank you all. Yes, thank you all. The sacrificial lambs here. This space will better help us and prepare us to do for those who are in need. Just because you're in church this morning doesn't mean you're the only person that wants to see God. I would venture to guess there are far more people out there that want to see God, but they don't think they can see him here. And so we're heading that way to see if we can show them God, to see if we can help them experience God the way Moses has experienced God, the way you have experienced God, the way I have experienced God. By God's grace, this space that we're moving towards will be the cleft in the rock that some people need in order to experience God. May it be so. And may we continue to be those who seek after God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. We thank you so very much for all that you have given to us and for the direction you are calling us to, and we ask that you would help keep us faithful to that call, that you would help us to move forward together, unaware of what we may encounter. But we know that if we do it together, if we do it with you, that you will lead us and that you will guide us. Lord, please do not send us on ahead and stay behind. We will not go if you will not go with us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.